tonight and go to the word of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Well, anybody excited about serving Jesus? Anybody really excited about serving the Lord? Amen. Praise. Anybody know somebody else that needs what you've got here? Amen. Let's see if we couldn't get some of them to come with us on Sunday. Amen. Praise God. And bring somebody along that needs a great touch from the Lord. God's going to do something good for us here. Amen. We're hoping and praying and believing by Sunday morning, Brother Hart's voice will cooperate. Amen. And he'll be able to. It feels funny not having him speak for nearly 2 weeks now. So, amen. He's been saving up. So look out. Amen. All right. We're reading tonight from the book of 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter and the 4th through the 6th verse. It said, as concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. Amen. There is none other God but one.
One God.
For though there be that are called gods, whether they be in heaven or on earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but unto us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. I'd like to talk tonight and teach, preach, whatever you want to call it, about one true God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Anybody believe in one God tonight? Hallelujah. Anybody know him? And does anybody know his name? Hallelujah. What's his name? His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Well, the Lord bless you. You may be seated. There's a lot of confusion today going around. Everybody's got their brand of religion. Everybody has their gods. And you can, in North America at least, in the United States of America, it's okay to talk about God. Just don't give him a name. Amen. You can talk about all the gods you want to. Just don't name him and say he's the one true God. You can talk about Krishna. You can talk about Buddha. You can talk about Confucius. You can talk about Krishna. You can talk about all of the others, but don't just call him Jesus. Hallelujah. But tonight I want to talk about the one true God. Hallelujah. Amen. How did it come about that people got away from the worship of one God? In the beginning, now you can believe what you wish. I'd happen to believe, if I don't believe Genesis 1 and 1, then I might as well close the rest of the book. Because if that's not right, if that's not correct, then how can I believe anything else that's in there? If God started out with the lie or confusion, then I might as well just hang it up right there. But I happen to honestly believe that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth because God already existed and God is the only creator. Amen. There is no other. He made it all. And I happen to believe that he made it just like he said. Amen. The only big bang that I believe in is that he spoke and bang, it happened. Hallelujah. Just like he said. When he said, let there be light, there was light. When he said, I spoke all things into existence, it happened just like he said. Amen. But at some point in time, people began to not want to serve this one true God. The book of Romans tells the story. Paul said it this way. Romans chapter 1 verse 21. Because that when they knew God. Everybody say they knew God. They knew God. Amen. It wasn't that they didn't know Him. They did know Him. They knew God. They glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Hear me tonight, friend. When you come face to face with truth, and you recognize truth, and you know truth, and then when you turn away from that, what's left? Error. Amen. Just a bunch of lies. People that come face to face with God and refuse to recognize Him as God, two things are going to happen to them. One is they're going to come darkened in their understanding. They're going to believe a lie, and they're going to propagate a lie, and they're going to live a lie because they have found truth and rejected truth, and there's nothing else left but deception. And secondly, the Bible said they were not thankful. We are living, folks, in a day when too many people are thankful. We got a lot of unthankful people today. Amen. We live in a time when people have more than they've ever had, at least in this country. We're a mighty blessed people. We're a mighty blessed people. Amen. But we got to be careful that we don't lose our gratitude and our thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Amen. If you lose some of your stuff, don't lose your gratitude. Amen. If you lose all of your stuff, don't lose your gratitude. Hallelujah. Because God is still good, and He is still God, and He is still worthy. Amen. And we're here to serve and to worship Him. Amen. Then the Bible said, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, who is to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Have you ever seen statues or idols that people made? What do they look like? They just look like things that God made. You know why that is? Because we can't create anything. We can only make what we see and what we hear and what we know. We are not creators. We are imitators. We can't make anything. So when they made their gods, they made them to look like things that God made. And what did they make them with? Their hands. Isn't that amazing? That a man would create something with his hands and say, "This is my God." When the thing made should be saying, "You are my God. You made me." But the fact is, they have ears, but they do not hear. They have hands, but they cannot help. They have eyes, but they cannot see. And they do not have a heart. They have no life. Amen. But do you see why God called them foolish? How foolish can we become that we would make something with our hands and say, "This is my God, and I'll worship these things." Amen. I know of a man that was converted to the Lord, and the church he came out of had some statues and idols and stuff. So he came home. He was all excited about serving the Lord. And he saw his little idols there. And he said, "Man," he said, "I don't need these anymore." He scooped them all up in a box. And he took them outside. And he dug a hole. And he poured them in. And he poured gasoline on them. And he threw a match in there. And whoo, they started burning. His neighbor was the same persuasion he used to be. And he come running. He said, "What are you doing, man?" He said, "You're burning up your gods." He said, "Well, if they can't save themselves, they sure can't save me." Now, wasn't that a revelation? Amen. Hey, you can be your own God and you can worship yourself, but you can't save yourself. There's only one Savior, and there's only one true God, and His name is Jesus, and He's the mighty God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Verse number 25 said, "Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever." Amen. Amen. Isn't that amazing that people worship the creature more than the Creator? You know, one of the great things about being a Christian tonight is knowing that this is not the best part of life. People are scared to death of swine flu. Amen. Boy, it's going to kill us all. Amen. And everybody's scared. Panic everywhere. Fear everywhere. Amen. You know what? I don't really think that's going to happen, number one. But even if it did, guess what? To me, it's just a shortcut to glory. Hallelujah. I'm just going to say bye to terra firma and hello to streets of gold. What's wrong with that? I'm going to leave behind trouble and trial and tears and sorrow and pain and sin. And I'm going to step into the region where the Lamb is the light. Hallelujah. And God's righteousness reigns forever. Amen. And there's no more tears or sorrow or death or pain. What's wrong with that? Amen. But we got people today they're against everything because they only believe this is it. It's all you got right here. And the most you're going to get is 70, 80, 90, 100 years. And a lot of those are not going to be too good. Amen. And so no wonder they're scared to death. Amen. But hey, let's not lose our hope. Let's be like the Apostle Paul. If I had hope in this life only, I would be of all men most miserable. But he had another hope, folks, and we do too. Hallelujah. Amen. So don't worry about this creature that you are. Worship instead the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Praise God. So people began to make gods with their hands and they started worshiping gods that they had made and things that they had made. And what a travesty that is. You see, they were worshiping gods. One man in the Bible had his God stolen. Can you imagine somebody stealing your God? Genesis, that's what happened. As a matter of fact, it was his daughter that stole his gods. When she got ready to leave Papa Laban's house, she stuffed those gods in her stuff and took off with them. Amen. And he come running because somebody stole his gods. Amen. Let me tell you about a God tonight that nobody can steal. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He lives on the inside. Amen. He lives in your heart. And he's a spirit. And he's with you 24 hours a day. Everywhere you go and everything that you do, he's always there. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Amen. Nobody can take this God. Nobody can steal him. I think of Mary that morning in the garden, you know, after the resurrection, she went down and the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty and she was standing out there crying and she heard somebody come up and call her name, Mary. And she thought it was the gardener and she said, "If you have taken him away, if you stole him, just tell me where you've put him." And he said it again. He said, "Mary." And then he recognized he wasn't stolen. He was risen. Hallelujah. And she fell at his feet. Amen. And began to worship him. I'm telling you tonight, nobody can steal Jesus Christ from you. Hallelujah to the Lord. Amen. Nobody can take him away. But Laban's gods were stolen. I love this story. I'm so glad this is in the Bible. I like this. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 5, the Israelites decided that they would use the Ark of God, the symbol of His presence, like a rabbit's foot for good luck. Let me tell you something. You don't use God. And God is not a good luck charm. And God is not a spare tire that you carry in your trunk and pull out when you get in trouble and call on Him. But they were trying to use Him like that. When they got ready to go to battle, they said, "We'll take the ark of God, because as long as we got that ark, we can't lose." All that ark was a box made of acacia wood overlaid with gold. It had some artifacts in it, but all of that was symbolic. Amen. All of that was just stuff and things. And that wasn't what made it special. What made it special was the presence of God that came down. Hallelujah. That's what made it precious. Hey, it doesn't matter what kind of building. I thank God for this building. And I thank God for your sacrifice and your tears and your work and your sweat and your blood that brought it into being. But this is not what's important. What's important tonight is what's here. When that presence of God comes down, it doesn't matter what kind of building we're in or whether we're even in a building. The presence of God is what matters. Sometimes we think, well, you know what? If we could do this or that or another thing, then it would be great. If we had a different building, it would be wonderful. If we had another piano, it would be wonderful. If we had this or we had that or we had all of that stuff, folks, none of that's that important. What really matters is that Jesus is in the house. And when Jesus is in the house, miracles can happen. Lives are changed. Souls are saved. And bodies are healed. So they took the Ark of the Covenant into battle, and it was captured by their enemy. And the Philistines were ecstatic. They said, "We've got the God of Israel." So they took that box and they took it into the temple of their God. His name was Dagon. Something fishy about him. That's what he looked like, a fish. And so they took Dagon, the Ark of the Covenant, they set it right down before Dagon and said, "We have conquered the God of Israel." Oh, yeah, right. Amen. The next morning they came in, and you know where Dagon was? He was face down before the Ark. Hallelujah. You think God don't have a sense of humor? Amen. He just reached out and gave old Dagon a thump on the ear, and pow, he fell off of his pedestal. And just like people, they had to go prop up their God. So they go over and they get him out of the dust, and they lift him up and they set him back on the pedestal, and they dust him off and get him all shined up again. Amen. And they say, "Well, what a terrible thing. I don't know what happened. Dagon fell down." Let me tell you about a God that'll never fall. Amen. He's high and lifted up. Amen. You don't have to worry about Him falling, because He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Hallelujah. Amen. There's no failing and no falling in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so the next morning they go in, and I guess not knowing what to expect, I'm sure they're a little apprehensive. So they walk back in there again, and there's Dagon. Lay it on the ground. But this time God said, "Let's get a little more serious. You didn't get it yesterday." So he broke his neck, and his head was laying in one place. And he broke his arms, and his arms and his hands were laying in another place. Amen. In other words, he's saying, "This guy don't have a head. He can't think. He can't see. He can't hear. He can't speak. He can't do anything for you. And there's his hands. They can't help you. They can do nothing for you." Amen. But let me tell you about a God that hadn't lost his head. Amen. And his hands are still able to heal and to help and to reach. Amen. And his ear is always open, and his eye will always see. And he has a heart of mercy and compassion that the Bible said is moved with the feelings of our infirmities. That's the kind of true God I'm talking about tonight. Hey, I'm not talking about somebody I've heard about. I'm telling you about somebody that I know personally. Hallelujah. Somebody that helps me every day, and I wouldn't want to live a moment without Him. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know what? They finally got the message. They said, "Oh, Dagon ain't much good." And nobody ever went back to Dagon's house again. That was the end of it. Amen. Praise God. But there's a true God. They learned to respect that God. Matter of fact, all of them got sick. And they said, we better send this thing home. This is too hot for us to handle. Amen. When you start handling God, you better do it His way. Amen. You come to God His way. You don't fit God into your schedule and make Him a part of your life. He has to become your life. Amen. He's not manipulated. And He doesn't just allow you to come part way. Amen. It's all or nothing with Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so some idols are just simply that. They're idols. They're made with people's hands, made from men's imaginations. They have to be cleaned and polished and repaired. Have you ever noticed that whenever we read about, well, some people think science is a god. But it's a god that changes every day. Because what was true about science yesterday, somebody disproves about science today. And a so-called fact of yesterday changes today. Did you know back at the turn of the century, in the 19th century, end of it, there was a man that wrote a book and he gave 100 scientific facts that absolutely prove the Bible is untrue. And did you know, within a few years, every one of those 100 facts were proven to be wrong? Every last one of them. And as a matter of fact, the house he used as a printing press to print his lies, they're still printing Bibles there today. Hallelujah. You think God doesn't have a sense of humor? Amen. He said, move over, Voltaire. Let me show you a little something here. Amen. I think I'll just take this over for my work. I'm talking about the one true God tonight. Amen. He's genuine. He's real. He doesn't change. He doesn't have to be repaired. He doesn't have to be revised. He doesn't have to be cleaned. As a matter of fact, He's the one that cleans us. He's the one that washes us. He's the one that washes away our sin and cleanses us. You don't have to polish Him up. Amen. You can't butter Him up either. Amen. He knows all things already. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a God we're serving here tonight. Amen. Idols are constantly changing. I don't know of anybody that worships Dagon today. I don't know of anybody that worships Molech today. There's a bunch of gods in the Bible that nobody worships anymore. As far as I know, nobody's worshiping Diana or any of those others that we read about in Scripture. They were popular in their time, and now they're all gone. They're just figures in history. Amen. Hallelujah. But I read about one God. He said, I'm the same yesterday and today and forever. Hallelujah. He said, I change not. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the true God tonight. You know, God doesn't change, and I figured out He doesn't change because He's perfect. And when you're perfect, you don't need to change. Now, I know this will come as shocking news to you, but some of us need the change. And here's the shocker, because we're not perfect yet. So we have to change. But He said, I do not change. I don't need to change. As a matter of fact, if you change perfection, you can only change it one way and it would become imperfect. So He doesn't change. There's nothing to change about Him. He is absolutely perfect just the way He is. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you know Him tonight? Amen. The one true God. Hallelujah. Amen. In the book of Joshua, Joshua was a book of conquest. After the Lord had brought Israel through the wilderness and that long journey of 40 years, they came into the promised land. And the book of Joshua is about conquering the enemies of the promised land. It's like the Christian life. When the Lord saves you, you still got some things to conquer. Isn't that right? This is not heaven yet. Have you figured that out? We have to conquer some things here. We have to conquer the old sin nature. He gives us the Holy Ghost. He gives us the power, but we still have some things to conquer. We have to still work on our temper. We have to get a little anger management. Amen. We have habits that we deal with and we struggle with and we fight with. Amen. Now, all kinds of things. We have to deal with as human beings. That's conquest. That's where we are right now. And Joshua brought the people together and they had gone through the land and they had driven the enemies out and driven them back and they were still around, but they were not present right at the time. Amen. You see, we're going to battle something as long as we live. So don't get to thinking that one of these days you're going to conquer all of your problems and from here on it'll just be heaven on earth. That's not going to ever happen. You're gonna. Matter of fact, your devils are gonna get bigger, because you're gonna get stronger. Yes, hallelujah! And the devils that you fight then will be what you fought before would seem as nothing to what you're doing now, because you grow in faith and you grow in maturity and you grow in knowledge and your relationship with God, and He trusts you with greater things. Have you ever noticed this? When you get a promotion on your job and you get all excited and you say, man, I got a promotion today. You know what that means, right? That means more work. That means more responsibility. That means more headaches. That means you got to deal with more problems. And you're excited about it. Amen. Because you got a promotion. You know why? Because somebody trusted you. Somebody believed in you. Somebody put their confidence in you. Somebody said, I believe you can do more than you've been doing. And God does the same thing. We get promotions in the kingdom. Hallelujah. He says, you've been fighting little devils. Now you're going to fight bigger devils. Hallelujah. You've been fighting things of your own. Now I'm going to help you to help your brother and your sister. Amen. You're going to graduate to greater things. Amen. Somebody said, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Hallelujah. Hey, I want the spirit of Caleb. Amen. After 40 years of wandering, he was 80 plus years old. And he comes out and he sees this big old mountain where the giants were. And he said, give me that mountain. Don't give me any lowlands. Don't give me a valley. Give me a mountain. Don't give me little men. Give me giants to fight. He said, I've lived a long time, and my strength is greater today than it was when I started, because God has enabled me. So give me that mountain. He wasn't looking for a rocking chair and a porch to put it on. Amen. He was saying, bring it on. Hallelujah. I might be the oldest among you. Amen. But I just got more experience. I have more faith. I fought more battles. I've seen more victories. I know more about God. Bring it on. Amen. That's the kind of faith we need tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I heard a song years ago I kind of liked. I never have heard it again, but one time it said, God, don't give me lighter burdens, just give me a stronger back. Amen. Hallelujah. Another guy was getting so blessed. Woo, he was getting blessed. And he said, oh, Lord, he said, turn off the fountain. Turn off the spigot, Lord. Amen. I can't handle anymore. His brother said, hey, don't you pray that. He said, don't pray for God to turn off the fountain. Ask Him to expand your capacity. Amen. Amen. I don't want Him to turn anything off. Amen. I just want Him to expand my capacity. That's what I've been doing lately. Hallelujah. You thought I was getting fat, but it was just expanding my capacity. Amen. That may be the wrong way. Amen. Praise God. It's about conquest. They come and And Joshua gets all the people together. And he tells them, he said, now folks, he said, it's time to decide. He said, this is real decision time today. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, the other side of Jordan, and then Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's a lot of gods. That's what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said there be called gods many and lords many and gods many. They're all over the place. You can serve all kinds of things. You can even serve yourself. A lot of people do. Yes. Amen. You can serve anything you want to. You can make any kind of God you want to make. Humanism is a God. Believing that humanity, this, we're getting better every day. We're getting more God-like every day. We're just getting more deceived every day. Secularism. Amen. Belief in education and science, and that's what's going to deliver us. Amen. You can believe that if you want to. And it's okay. That's what a lot of people believe. They say, I believe in humanism. I believe in human potential. I believe in the power of education. I believe in science. I believe that we're gonna work our own way out of here. And there you can believe in hedonism, just simply having a good time. Life is one big long party. It's all about just having a good time. Amen. And just if it feels good, do it. Don't care what anybody else says, and don't care what anybody else thinks, and just do what you want to do. It's your life. Amen. And you can live like that. Materialism is a god for a lot of people. Just more stuff. Bigger houses, bigger cars, bigger airplanes, bigger boats. More clothes, more food. What is it? Just more, more, more. Give me more, give me more. Never satisfied. Amen. Now all of those are gods, but none of them can save. I don't know what was the last figure. $2 trillion, $3 trillion. Just poof, disappeared. Nobody knows where it went. We don't know where it went because it's all on paper. Amen. It just all left us all of a sudden. Amen. I want to talk about a God that will never leave you. Amen. You know what? He's worth the same today as he was yesterday. He was priceless then and he's priceless now. Amen. He was worth it all then and he's worth it all now. And he'll be worth it all tomorrow. He doesn't ever change. His value is always the same. Amen. There's a lot of gods we can serve, but there's only one Savior. There's only one Savior. Amen. There's only one person that can save you from your sin, and that's Jesus Christ. There is no other. Amen. Pastor, what are you talking about tonight? Well, just let me say it this way. I'm not just talking through my hat. I'm not just talking because this is what you pay me to do. You'd think I was getting paid by the hour sometimes the way it goes. But that's not what I'm trying to do. Amen. But what we really want to say tonight is every one of us here, we've been on the other side. We know what it's like without Christ. All of us lived that way one day. We didn't have him in our life. So we were on that side of the fence. And now we're on the other side. So you see, before anybody criticizes and doubts whether this is real, try it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Amen. I've been there, and I'm here now. I've been here over 40 years, and here I'll stay. Because I have found this is so much better than what I had before. I could go back, but I won't go back. I don't want to go back. This is so much better than what I had before. So before you doubt it, amen, try it for yourself. Try it for yourself. Amen. If you don't like it, you can always go back. But if you're like the majority of folks, once you get it, you'll say, this is so much better than what I had before. Amen. And you'll want to stay. Praise God. Let's stand together tonight. There's just one true God. He said, I am the Almighty. You know, there can only be one Almighty. He said, I have all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. If it's all power, that means that no one else has any, if that's true. Amen. So you see, when you get to talking about a bunch of gods, if there's just one, and I believe there is, and he has all power, then nobody else has any unless he lets him have a little. Amen. He's got it all. Amen. Praise God. It all belongs to him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't the Lord good? Isn't the Lord good? I think it'd be good if we'd lift up our hands and our voices right now and just begin to praise the one true God. Jesus, I'm glad that I know who you are tonight. I'm so glad that I know who you are tonight. I'm so thankful that I know Jesus. Thank you for saving me from my sins. Thank you for cleansing me, washing me, redeeming me. Thank you, Lord, today for washing me in baptism and filling me with the power of your great and wonderful Spirit. Thank you, God, for peace that passes understanding. And thank you for unspeakable joy that's full of glory. Thank you tonight, God, for righteousness. Thank you for purity. Thank you we can live with a pure mind and a pure heart and clean hands. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can walk in righteousness tonight. Thank you for a good conscience. Hallelujah. A conscience devoid tonight of shame and guilt. I thank you for that. I thank you for that. Thank you for a life, Lord Jesus, that is worthy, that we can live a life that's pure, doesn't hurt anybody else, but seeks to bless others, exalt Jesus Christ. Thank you for that. Hallelujah. I thank you for it tonight. You're a mighty good God, and I'm so glad that you're the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. Before we go tonight, we need to pray for Brother Wagner. He needs prayer, so let's pray for him for healing. And also, we want to pray for the Lord's going to help us with protect us. I don't mean to be facetious. Amen. When I talk about things like the epidemics that people are worried about, but I'm telling you, folks, we don't have to worry. And I'm going to tell you another thing. We are living in a world that is a fear culture. It wants to make you afraid of everything because it makes news. It makes news. And it makes money. Lots of it. And so they promote things that bring fear. The child of God doesn't have to have fear. The Bible said he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love. Amen. And he's given us a sound mind. Amen. Praise God. And he said, perfect love casts out fear. We love the Lord, so we don't have to have fear tonight. Amen. Would you pray with me right now? Let's pray for these things tonight, for our protection, and let's pray tonight for Brother Wagner. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our peace and our help and our ever-present help in the time of need. And we can and we do come to you tonight asking that you would bring protection over all of us, our households and our members, God, our children, our families. Keep us, God, safe, just as you protected Israel from the curses in Egypt. You said that you're the God that heals us, and I believe that tonight. So give us perfect protection, O God. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. And we ask you tonight that you would heal Brother Wagner. Whatever this problem is, he's had it a long time, and I'm asking you to heal him tonight and correct the problem that's in his physical body and give him perfect health and healing. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you're mighty good. And we love you. Amen. Oh, the mighty God is Jesus. The Prince of Peace is He. The everlasting Father, the King eternally.
The wonderful and wisdom by whom all things are made.
The fullness of the Godhead
in Jesus is displayed,
and it's all in Him. It's all in Him. The